Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen. In his first letter, the Apostle Peter makes a statement that many in our enlightened and liberated age find to be appalling. He writes, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel." Now, what Peter writes there is demonstrably true, not just when it comes to physical strength, but in other ways as well. But it still causes some people's eyes to get wide and their nostrils to flare and their teeth to grind. Men and women aren't equal in all things, and that was by God's design. It doesn't mean that women are inferior to men as to their worth. That isn't the case. But they are weaker, and to deny it is to deny what is plain to see. I bring this up to ask why. Why do people, men and women alike, take issue with these kinds of statements of Holy Scripture? I suppose part of the reason is that historically men have often taken advantage of women because of that disparity in strength. Instead of doing what Peter admonishes them to do, which is to honor them, so it's kind of a backlash against oppression. And oppression has been and is still a very real problem in the world. But I can't help wonder if there isn't something more to it, something a lot more sinister. I mean, why war against something that is so obvious? It's on a par with denying that water is wet or the sky is up. There has to be something deeper there that people don't want to acknowledge or submit to. When you remember that the marriage relationship was ordained by God to be a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church, God's community of believers, when you remember that the devil and the world and the sinful nature inside man abhors that relationship, then it's understandable that the picture will be abhorred instead of the reality. In other words, since Christ is the strength of his church, and his church takes refuge in his strength alone, and there's no power on earth that can alter that reality, it's almost as though the devil and the world and our sinful nature will try to do what they can to assault the picture of the truth, which is marriage, which is the relationship, which is how God designed it. They can't change the reality, but they can mar the picture. I bring this up today because in our summer series from Revelation and these letters to churches especially, and in our text for today, we see another aspect that God does desire to see in his church. Not just weakness, but the recognition of that weakness, and so the dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you, because you have kept my word about patient endurance. I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Weakness. Have you ever been confronted with your own weakness? It can be a humbling experience. Maybe when you were little, you thought you were stronger than another boy your age. And so you challenged him to an arm wrestling contest and you lost. It's kind of embarrassing to be beat in a test of strength, especially if there's a lot of other people watching. Maybe something like that has happened to you, or maybe it hasn't. But there are other times when our weakness gets exposed in different ways. A parent has his weakness exposed when his child becomes sick. A farmer has his weakness exposed when the rain quits falling. A teacher has her weakness exposed when, no matter how hard she tries, a couple of her students cannot get the math concept she's putting out. Countless examples of our weaknesses being exposed to us almost every day. But maybe the greatest exposure that we have to our own weakness is through temptation. You don't want to sin. You tell a small lie to get out of some perceived trouble. Or you click on that mouse button to view things you shouldn't be viewing. Or you speak in self-righteous anger against your spouse or children or parents. You fall to the temptation. Why? Well, because you are weak. We are all weak. The question is, do we acknowledge our weakness in these matters? Do we know about it? Sometimes maybe, not always. Sometimes we think more highly of ourselves, and we place ourselves in foolish situations or pat ourselves on the back for not being as influenced by sin as some other person. And before we know it, our weakness slaps us in the face. We fall to temptation and sin. And no matter how hard we struggle against it, we're powerless to stop. The congregation in the city of Philadelphia was weak. That's Jesus' evaluation. He said, "I know that you have but little power." What does that mean? Was it that the congregation was small in numbers? Maybe. Maybe they were poor in money, so their weekly offerings were kind of feeble compared to the other congregations around them. Our text indicates the weakness had something to do with the persecution that was coming from those Jews who denied that Jesus was the Messiah. And these things sort of combined to make the congregation to be a weak church. However, in their weakness, they still understood where their only strength comes from. Jesus says, "I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." The weakness of this group drove them always more to Jesus' word and then to Jesus himself. So no matter how hostile the world around them became, and no matter how weak they were in themselves, to overcome sin, Jesus was their strength. He has overcome the world. And he has taken away the damning power of sin. They were weak, but he, Jesus, was their strength. As he says yet again, "Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut." How important that is for us to remember, especially when our own weaknesses become so painfully obvious to us. We tend to think of being weak as a weakness. What we witness in the world around us is that the weak are destined for destruction. Weak plants get overtaken by the strong ones, more vigorous ones. Weak animals are devoured by the strong. Even weak humans are pushed aside and taken advantage of by stronger human beings. In the weakness that is in us through sin, both in the world and in our bodies, it would seem too that we are also destined for destruction. Being weak, or to the point, recognizing our weakness, is actually something the Lord desires in us, so long as recognition of our weakness is joined to trust in him as our strength. Remember what the Lord said to Paul? He prayed three times that his thorn in the flesh, his trouble, physical trouble, whatever it was, would be removed. He said, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And listen to how Paul responded. He said, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." That's what Christ was promising the congregation in Philadelphia. Again and again, he holds before him the promise that assured them that even in their weakness, their salvation was secure. Because it was secured by his strength, not their own. By the power of his love for them, and not how much they loved God back. Nowhere is this truth more comforting than when it comes to finding out that this weakness reveals itself to us in our falling to temptation. Sin and the guilt of it make us doubt our relationship with our God and our eternal salvation. And we wonder, how can I be going to heaven when I return to this sin again, or did this horrible thing and think this thought? We can begin to doubt. We simply aren't strong enough to resist the temptation to sin, and when we fall, we worry that our God might be looking on us in deep anger for our pitiful resistance to sin. But think again of that Pharisee and that tax collector who went into the temple to pray. What did the Pharisee pray about? What was his bragging? Well, he prayed in thanksgiving that he wasn't like other men. He didn't steal or cheat people or fall to greed. He was stronger than other men, at least he thought so. But the tax collector, by confessing himself to be a sinner, acknowledged his weakness and clung to God's promise to be merciful. He didn't rely on strength. He relied on the strength of his Savior, God, that is, not on his own strength. It's that one, the weak, sinful tax collector, that according to Jesus, went home justified, declared not guilty of sin for the sake of him who bore that sin on the cross. So you see, ladies, being the weaker vessel is not a bad thing. Not when you remember that Christ delights in those who acknowledge their weakness in faith. Look to him as their strength. And you men, don't dishonor your wives for their weakness, because in the eyes of your Savior, whom you are supposed to emulate in your marriage, that weakness is an opportunity for his strength to be made perfect. And don't forget, ultimately, we are all weak. Weak in regard to sin. Weak to bring the wickedness that stems from sin under control. And weak to make ourselves acceptable to God. Our strength is in Christ, who committed no sin and was made sin for us, who overcame the devil and the world for us, and through his suffering and death on the cross has opened up heaven's door to us, which no one can shut. Amen.